Thank you, ladies. Thank you, ladies. Let's take our Bibles and we're turned to Isaiah 55. We started this message last week, and that was the good part. I hate to tell you that, but I'm gonna. Remember those old Western movies, and they're sitting in there, and they got two cowboys looking at. And he says something. That says, "Smile when you say that." You remember the old, anyway, that old line? Well, I'm gonna smile when I say this. Okay, so this. This is kind of tough stuff here. I really do want to help you. I really want you. Actually, Brother Nathan's been talking about some of this type of thing in Sunday school, and you know, how to have peace and how to have joy. And God wants us. He wants us to have peace. It's my peace I give you, not as the world give unto you. I'm my peace. And he says he wants you to have that your joy may be full. And all those things are true. The problem is we go. And usually in a different direction, looking for peace and looking for joy. And this is kind of a little different approach on this, but I'm talking about God, seeking God on my terms. That's not good. We need to seek God on God's terms. God's the one who makes the rules. God's the one who made the world. We're going to find him when we seek God on his terms. But so many folks these days, we seek God on our own terms. I know this is too old for a lot of young folks, but you know, I remember. Do you remember the old commercial? Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Have it your way. Have it your way. Have it your way. At Burger King, remember that? Okay. Well, that's we're so used to having it our way, almost to the point where if we don't get it our way, we think everybody else is mad at us. If we don't get it our way, they have failed. And we kind of turn the table on God and do the same thing. We want God on our terms. We want to have it our way. And if we can't have it our way, sometimes we'll walk away. And then we wonder where the peace and the joy that he promised has gone to. Where the victory over sin has gone to. Now, I spent a couple weeks, some weeks ago, and we were talking about the narrow way. There's a straight gate. That's Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. That's the straight gate. Then there's a narrow way. Not the broad way, where everybody, the rest of the world is going. By the way, you do what the rest of the world does, you're going to get what the rest of the world gets. And by the way, and you know as well as I do, they all put on the smile, everything's wonderful, and you walk into their house and everything's falling apart. I'm not talking about the furniture, I'm talking about their lives. And there's a joy, again, Brother Nathan was talking about having a joy that isn't based on the circumstances. It's based on the constant, which is Jesus Christ himself. And so once we get on the path. In other words, we're saved. We're going to get there. I understand. If we receive Jesus Christ, your Savior, if you know that you're a sinner, and we all are, and you know that because of our sin, we deserve to be accountable to God, and we all are, and we're going to be accountable to God, then we're either going to be able to be with him, or we have decided not to have him. We're going to be away from him for eternity, which is hell. Then we realize that he has paid the debt. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died in our place so that we don't have to. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You get salvation by receiving it as a gift. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He doesn't have to, but he, by his grace, his undeserved benefit toward us, will give us eternal life if we will simply admit that we need it and that we'll take it. Now that gets us on the road. Now we're going to live from here to sometime when we get to glory, when we pass on to the other side. And we can have a successful life or we can have a miserable life. We could be saved and headed for heaven at our final destination and have a miserable time over here between the two. So we need to walk that narrow way, which is really doesn't give you a whole lot of choices. It's not a really fancy path, but we stay on it. We will get what we want. We'll have the peace and we'll have the joy. God, He shows us that path of righteousness that Psalm 23 tells us. That's that narrow way. And how do we know where that is? Because we walk in the light. He is the light. The Word of God is the light. And we walk where He tells us to walk. You say, well, I see that, but that's really not all that attractive there. I can see some things over here that look like a whole lot more fun. No, the light is shining here. That's where you need to walk, because the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It shows us where we're supposed to walk. And if I will walk where the light is walking, then I'm walking where God wants me to walk. When I walk where God is walking, I have fellowship with Him, I'm going to be walking in the Spirit. So we talked about all that. So we're going to have this a wonderful walk with Him by being close to Him. Now, the fact is, we want to be close to Him, but so often we want to do so on our own terms. Do it the way we want. And when that happens, we're going to get off the path, we're going to end up someplace else, and before long, after a while, we're going to run out of the momentum that we had when we were walking with Him. And we're going to, even though we're going to end up in heaven, we're dry, we're thirsty, we're hungry, we're empty. And we know, you know, if you get talking about salvation, that's good. But the rest of this life thing is just not what it's all cracked up to be. You hear these promises in the Bible, how it's supposed to be nice, but I'm just not seeing it. It's because we haven't done it His way. We're trying to live on our terms and not God's terms. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll read some scripture as we go. So I don't forget to pray. I want to pray first. That's called doing so on His terms, not my terms. So let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your blessings. Thank You for Your word. We're going to get into a couple of things here. And Lord, You know I don't want to hurt anybody. But these are some things we kind of just overlook. And we don't really see the impact of what it is that we're doing. So Lord, I pray that You'll bless our time. I ask for Your Holy Spirit to move and to teach us. Give us each what we need. A little encouragement, a little correction, a little instruction, a little reproof if necessary. But You know what it is. And again, Lord, if be one here doesn't know Christ as their Savior this morning, I pray today be the day of their salvation. So work in hearts and lives, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So this is God on My Terms, Jack, part two. But if you want to just say, seek God, that'll be all right. Isaiah 55. We went through some of this last week, spent most of the time, but I want to remind you, I put it there to give us a running start on where we are. Isaiah 55, it says, verse one, number one, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. He says, you know, there's an empty spot inside of all of us. There's a God-sized hole in every heart that only God can fill. You could have everything in the world and still feel thirsty. You know what I'm talking about? There's something beyond us. Many folks are trying to fill the hole in their lives with all kinds of things, addictions, possessions. You know, addiction is just something we're trying to fill our life up with that God's supposed to fill up. Now, it may not be an addiction to alcohol or drugs or pornography. It could be addiction to shopping. It could be addiction to buying cars. It could be addiction to sweet tea. No, that can't be right. But it's whatever we're using to create, try to fill that spot temporarily, give us a little bit of satisfaction and joy. Now we'll skip down to verse 6. Look what it says we need to be doing. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. You know, God doesn't owe us a thing. In fact, He gave us more than we could ever imagine when He gave His Son to die on the cross for us. But He doesn't owe us a thing. And you know what? We have a chance. Don't wait till the end of your life decide to walk with God. Don't wait any longer. We waste too many days. The story was told that the great evangelist D.L. Moody had come back from a meeting, and someone went one night, and he said, "Well, did you have anyone saved tonight?" And he said, "We had 4.5." And he said, "Oh, I had 4 adults and a child." "No, I had 4 children and 1 adult." Children have their whole life to serve him. The adult only has half his life to serve him. Now I know where we are. I say, well, by the way, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I look forward to that which is ahead, and I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. We have all messed up, all of us, somewhere along our way. And the fact is, I can't believe I am 59 years old. I'm going to be 60. When my uncle turned 30, I was like 4. I thought 30 was almost dead. And I'm twice dead. Life goes by fast. And you know it's a corny thing, we say it, but it seems like the older you get, the faster it goes. 2019 is almost over. I mean, you say, no, we're only halfway through. Where'd the first half go? We have vacation Bible school this week, and then next week, several of our teachers go to training for a week. The week after that, they come in to get ready for the kids, and the week after that, we start school. Their summer's already over. Sorry. Their summer's already over. If we're going to do something and do it right, we need to be doing it right now. That's my point. And the fact is, the longer we wait, the more we're going to miss out. He says in verse 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Verse 7, how do we do that? "Let the wicked forsake his way." Now listen, if it's not righteous, it's wicked. There's not a neutral zone there. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If I'm doing it on my own, then I'm saying I don't need you, God. Well, that's kind of a slap in God's face. And so he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way." In other words, get back on that narrow way, because that is where God is. And it says, "And the unrighteous man, his thoughts." In other words, forsake his thoughts. Change the way we're thinking. "And let him return unto the Lord." Get back off the broad way and back onto the narrow way. It says, if we will do that, "And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has something more than we understand. Flip to Psalm 119. I'm not going to spend, we talked about this last week. I did that because I wanted this to be the preceding portion of this, to get our thoughts in the right way. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, almost exactly in the middle of the Bible. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, and the whole thing is about the Word of God. But Psalm 119, verse 1, it says this: "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." That word "undefiled" is this. It means to not mess up. That word is kind of an unusual word there. To not mess up, to stick to the law with no variation, not just living in close proximity to the law. Not just say, well, it's close enough. Well, suppose God almost paid for all your sins. He got all of them. He missed a couple, maybe. Well, you break the law at one point, you've broken them all, you're not going to heaven if there's any sin on your account at all. And when we serve him, we need to go back the same way. So now, are we going to be perfect? No. What does God look after? Looks at the man's heart. Looked at David, said, "The man after his whole heart." He's a man with a heart after God. So he says, "Blessed is the undefiled in the way." In other words, while he's walking on that little narrow path, on that way, he's going to be happy, he's going to be blessed, if he can keep himself from messing up. You know, kind of just stepping over here in the on the mud puddle on the side, or getting over here in the briars, or just kind of leaning over here a little further just to see, well, I mean, I'm not really going to go over there, but I wouldn't mind looking and see what other options are out there. Wrong. Get yourself in trouble. And look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. That word keep means to guard obsessively. To guard obsessively. So what's the word testimony? It's what God has testified to be truth and how life works. Now, if this is the way God says, I'm going to be happy on my way, then that's what I need to say, and I need to be obsessive about obeying what he told me to do. God said it. You know what? He's never wrong. He never lies. If he tells me, it is always truth. Now, if it's always truth, why in the world would I want to do anything else? If blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, sin in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, then why in the world would I ever want to go back to the counsel of the ungodly? Now, I'm a little OCD about some things, and this is one of them. And I don't think it's bad. In fact, I don't think it's a condition you want to get rid of. If it's a thing, if this is what God said, that's what I want. I don't want to go to the left. I don't want to go to the right. I want to be right there. Blessed are they that keep his testimony, look, and that seek him with a whole heart. Not half-hearted. Not three-quarter-hearted. Not 99%-hearted. That's like we said, do you love your wife? Yeah, about 98%. That's not what she wants to hear. God doesn't want to hear it either. We cannot claim to be seeking the Lord with a whole heart and not keep his testimonies. I know that's what the Lord said. But you know, I was thinking, wrong. He says, blessed are they that keep his testimony. Watch, verse 2. And that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. If this is how God says I should live my life, then I'm going to believe him and live my life just as he says, whether I understand how it all works, because his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He knows better than I do, and I need to just take his word on it. And he goes, well, do you really live that idiotic, that naive? It's not naive. I've got God's word on it. And by the way, I told you a little while ago, I'm 60 years old. I have lived this way for a long time. And he has shown himself faithful over and over and over. In what we call the good times, what we call the bad times. They're all good times if they're with the Lord. Sometimes you don't have much in your pocket, but you see the Lord work. It's almost a better time than when you have a lot of money in your pocket. Verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Now, if I'm going to seek it with my whole heart, I'm going to do that diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I'm not going to do something stupid, make a fool out of myself when I do what God has called me to do. You say, well, people are going to laugh at you for doing what God. Yeah, I know, but there's the end result. There's an end result. You can laugh at me now. I've been laughed at before when I try to follow the Lord. You're going to do what? Remember when I decided I was going to be a Christian school teacher instead of in the public school? And he said, well, you won't make any money. That's stupid. Don't do that to your family. The Lord took care of us. And then when I said I was going to leave that and go to college and become a pastor, he said, oh, my soul, what in the world are you doing? I'll be honest with you, one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. And the Lord has blessed and shown himself great and mighty. Verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. What does that mean? the best way to praise the Lord is by doing what he told you to do. It's like the best way to say that mama's right is by obeying her without any fuss. I will praise thee with uprightness heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. I will forsake me not utterly. Please, in other words, please don't give up on me, God. I am literally trying to learn how to do right as fast as I can. And he knows that. Not going to be perfect. You never will be perfect. But we want to learn, seek him diligently with all our heart. Verse 9. How do you do that? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you get cleaned up when you've made a mess of life? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart, verse 9, have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. With my whole heart, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all the riches. In other words, I decide what's going to make life right, what's going to make life good, is having God in my life. And if I want to have God in my life, then I need to walk where God walks. I got to do what God wants me to do. And if I do that, I found that that's worth more than have a bunch of money in my pocket. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money in your pocket if God puts it there. But if you're out going out seeking your joy and your security in things and riches and other things, position, possessions, you're not going to have the joy that you want. Because you know those things are fleeting. They come and they go. He said, I have rejoiced, verse 14, in the way of righteousness. I'm sorry, in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. In other words, I'm going to honor what you want me to do, God, how you want me to do it, where you want me to do it, and when you want me to do it. And I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Now, I'm serious about this. People, I know that it seems crazy. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. How in the world are you going to let some book dictate your life? It's not some book. This is the living word of God. It has proven itself faithful, just like the Lord has, and he is telling me what I need to do, how to do it, when to do it. And the fact is, I've been doing this a long time. And a lot of people say, well, Sterling, you're stupid trying to do this. My own father did. He turned around a lot later in life and came down the same path we did. But the Lord has shown himself true. And let me give you, last week, number one, we said this. We are to seek God with all our hearts. Seek God with all our hearts. Now we're going to seek God. Watch me now. This is going to sound confusing. If we're going to seek God, then we need to seek God. There's an awful lot of people who say, well, they're seeking God, but they're not really seeking God. Watch me. I am not talking about seeking the Lord to get things from him. You see, we say, I'm going to seek God. A lot of folks come, now listen, God uses circumstances to get our attention. God uses circumstances and things in our life to get our attention. He allows the natural consequences of sin to take us down. So sometimes, though we're flat on our back, we have no place to look but up. And then he's up there going, hi, you need a hand? And he's more than ready to give us a hand, but sometimes we're so busy doing our own thing, we're not paying attention to him. And we're trying to survive. It's kind of like we're treading water in the middle of the ocean, and there's a lifeguard behind us, and we say, get out of my way, I'm trying to keep myself alive here. You're in my way. No, stop touching me. I'm going to drown. And we're pushing away the one who's going to save us. And that's exactly what we do so often. We push away God. He's the one who's going to save us. Now, we think that if I just won the lottery, well, the prosperity of a fool shall destroy them. There's a bigger chance that your life will be worse with the lottery than better. One thing that happens is every relative you that has any bit of claim to you will be knocking at your door. Listen, how many times have you heard of folks who won the lottery end up going bankrupt because it gets them into a lifestyle they can't afford, and it just they think, well, that's my answer to everything. Just throw money here and throw money there until it's all gone. If my wife would just, or my husband would just, well, if I could just get this kind of job, or if I just had this, or if I, we think that's what we're looking for. No, what you need is God. Now watch, we can certainly come to our Heavenly Father and ask for our needs to be met, but we need to be in good standing with our Father. I'm talking about seeking to give yourself to the Lord. When it says, I'm going to seek the Lord with all my heart, what he said? Well, I'm going to cleanse my way. I'm going to do his commandments. That's what we just finished reading. You say, well, if as soon as I find him, I'll start doing this. Like, no. That's how you find him. You seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. But you're not going to find him until you seek him with all your heart. Well, how do you seek him? By being where he is. He's on that little path. He's under the light where the word has told us to be. This is where I'm supposed to be. Not to the right, not to the left, not in the Broadway, not over here. I need to be on that path of righteousness, doing what I'm supposed to do. If I'm going to seek God, then I'm going to go where he is. Now, my mom's not one to travel around a whole lot and so forth. And I remember her mother was even more so than this. But her mother lived down on the old farm, and just that's where she was. And she hardly ever went out for anything. But if you wanted to go see Grandma Tracy, I'll tell you what you do. Just go to the farm. That's where she is. Now, you can't say, well, I'll run into her somewhere along the way. I'll see her at the grocery store. You won't. If you're gonna see Grandma Tracy, you've got to go down to the farm on Upper Beckleysville Road in Hampstead, Maryland, and that's where the farm is. That's where you're going to find her. Now, she's in glory now, but at the time when she was alive, that's where you're going to find her. If I'm going to find my mom, it's very unusual for me to go to my mom's house and not find her there at her house. If I want to be with her, then I need to go where she is. Now, if I want to walk with God, then I need to go where God walks, because God's only walks in the righteous path. That's where he lives. He lives where righteousness lives. So I'm not seeking about us trying to seek to get things from him. I'm talking about us seeking to give ourselves to him. What we're seeking is a good relationship with the Lord. I know you've heard this verse so many times, but here it is again. Life is, by the way, God did not make this difficult. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God? That God's going to tell me what to do, and he's going to tell me how to do it, his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Go back to context. Everything else you need will come along with the deal, but you've got to seek him first. Seeking the Lord is doing whatever we need to do to stay next to him. You hear me? Seeking the Lord with all my heart means doing whatever I need to do, to stay close to him. And since Jesus walks in the light on the narrow way, then if we want to be near the Lord, we need to walk in the light on the narrow way. Now, if we're not seeking him diligently, we're not seeking him with all our heart, we're going to be someplace else. But if you're someplace else, you're not going to find him, because he's over here on the narrow way. He's over here doing this way. We're busy trying to find peace someplace else, and I don't understand why we're not finding peace. Lord, why don't you give me peace? I have it right here. Come and get it. Well, I don't want to do that. I got a different idea about how life should run. If we're seeking the Lord with all our hearts, then it only makes sense that we would not purposely stray off of the narrow, lighted way even a little bit to the right or to the left. Now, we might. We're stupid. Sometimes we do things you're not thinking. I mean, I was picking on Silas last week, and sometimes he's walking, you know, and he's looking someplace else, and he's not watching where he's going, and he ends up someplace he doesn't want to be. But if we're going to seek him, we seek him diligently. Now, I'll guarantee you that Esther would just assume if he's watching her every move and just staying right there next to her. You know? I mean, he's two. If he wants to stay alive, it'd be better if he just stays next to mama. you walk out here in the parking lot, you say, well, it's a safe place. It's a church parking lot. Yeah, but there's cars. And that's, he's only that high, you know. I mean, you know, you don't see him. And he's busy going out there, and he's not paying any attention. There's cars going all over the place. We're going to lose him. And we said, well, it'll be all right. That's what he thinks. And that's what we think. Oh, it'll be okay. Everything will be all right. Seeking the Lord, watch me, means doing right. Now, if I'm seeking the Lord with all my heart, then that means I'm going to do everything I can, OCD, to do right. Because I want as much of the blessings as I can. Watch, being honest. Do right. Be honest, even though God is the only one that sees it. That's seeking the Lord. What? Oh, yeah, that's seeking the Lord. Keep his commandments and his testimonies and statutes and his precepts. Being honest, whether anybody else sees it or not, and only God sees it, that's seeking the Lord. Doing right, not to please others, but out of love for God. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. But if you're trying to make peace with your enemies by getting off the narrow way, you're making trouble with between you and the Lord. So now all of a sudden you think you can do it by yourself. I can make peace and I don't need God. Wrong. You make peace with God, and God will help you make peace with those around you. We are to love God with all our heart, and if we love God with all our heart, we will want to please God with all our hearts. That's called seeking him. To seek God, a second thought here, it's not number two, but it's kind of letter B. To seek God, we seek to be rid of any obstacle between us and God. Let me say that again. To seek God means to seek to get rid of any obstacle between us and God. You ever see somebody and everybody wants to sit next to the same person? And they're squeezing themselves in there so they can sit there next to the person. They want anybody. I mean, we're all here together. You're only three feet away from the person. That's not good enough. I want to be right there next to that person. I'm going to be honest with you. When Janet and I were dating, I guess it's still kind of that way. If we're sitting on, every once in a while we get to sit in church together, not very often, but every once in a while, I really don't want to sit on the other end of the pew. If she's sitting there, I don't want to sit over there. I want to sit right here. Now, it's bad enough when one of the kids comes in, they want to squeeze down between the two, but it's kind of okay. You know, they're kind of small, and you can put your arm around her anyway, kind of right around the kid there. That's fine. It's your kids. But I'm talking about kids, any regular people sitting between Janet and I. I want to be next to her. So I don't want anything between me and her. Psalm 119 said this. We read it. Wherewithal, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. My whole heart I've sought thee. How? By keeping his commandments. So don't let me mess up, God. Make sure you tell me what I'm supposed to do. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. He says, I don't want anything between me and you, Lord. I'm seeking you with my whole heart. So tell me what you want me to do. And that's what I'll do if that's what it takes for me to get closer to you. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:1 says this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So he said, if there's an obstacle between you and the Lord, it's our sin. Well, what's sin? Missing the mark. It's transgression, going the wrong way. Just not doing what we're supposed to do. It could be as simple as saying, he said, here's where the Bible said I'm supposed to be, right here. In my life, there's a light. This is what I'm supposed to be doing in my life. This is what the Bible says. Like being honest when no one's looking. Really? Yeah. That keeps me close to Him. But if I said, you know, I could just kind of fudge on this a little bit. And I could make a little extra profit. And I know there's no way in the world anybody, humanly speaking, is going to know the difference. So I'm going to do it. You want to do that? I've walked off the path. I'm not close to Him as I was. I'm doing my own thing. I need to be doing, sin separates us from God. And if we seek God, we must seek to be rid of sin. So while I'm seeking God, are you seeking to get rid of sin? In our passage, He's telling this way, Lord, teach me thy statutes. How can I cleanse my way? Taking the heed of the word of God. Every time we get together on Sunday morning, you know what we're saying? Teach me the word of God so I can be closer to you, Lord. See, and now there are people who will come to church and they'll listen. And they'll say, well, that's stupid. Well, that's unreasonable. Well, there's a bunch of legalistic, independent Baptists. I'm not legalistic. Legalistic says you got to do this to get to heaven. Heaven's a gift of God. If you receive it as a gift of God, you receive it, it's a gift of God. To live like the Lord wants you to live, just so you can be close to Him, just common sense. If God is really God, and God will work in our life as He promises, well, then it only makes sense. Now, I'll tell you something that's stupid. You're not going to believe what God's Word says. We're going to come week after week after week and listen to me, a fat boy yell for 45 minutes. It's a waste of time. Now, you need to be here. Don't faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, so keep coming. That's not what I'm saying. But if we do this for years, why is it changing? Well, we're not paying attention to what He told us. 1 John 3 says this, every man that hath this hope, notice he's saved, hath this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is a transgression of the law. How serious are you about having God fully evident in your life? That's the question. How serious are you about having God being fully evident in your life? I'll tell you. We can tell by how serious you are in purifying yourself from your sin. Now, how are you going to know how you're going to do that? You're going to hear the Word of God. We're going to find out what the problem is. The Lord's going to convict our heart. Then we confess it to Him that you're right. Admit that He's true. Forsake it. I don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. It's wrong. And please keep me out of that mess. Forgive me. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every morning. We get to have a new start. But way too many people say they're going to heaven, but then they want to take the rest of what God has on their terms. Fact is, it's on His terms or no terms. If we will seek Him with our whole heart, we'll find Him. So why am I not finding Him? Maybe I'm not seeking Him with my whole heart. Well, then maybe we need to pray, search me and try me, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's why we come to church. Again, to understand the Word of God, to get rid of those obstacles of sin that's between us and our Lord. I don't want to walk on the edge of the path. I want to walk right down the middle with it where He is. We say we're seeking God, but God says we are not truly seeking Him until we seek Him with all our hearts. Every day is a day the Lord has made. And the Lord's mercies are new every morning. So what do? We die to self daily. Not what I want, what you want, Lord. We should die to sin. Die to the lust of the flesh. Put off the old man. Mortify the deeds. We should seek the Lord early. First thing. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think." This is the Lord speaking. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." If you're not seeking the Lord daily, you're not seeking the Lord with all your heart. If you're not seeking the Lord with your whole heart, you cannot claim the promise that you will find him. Now, they're going to say something here. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to bring it down where the rubber meets the road. Now, listen to me. It is amazing the excuses we can come up with for not keeping our appointment with God. If you have to cancel an appointment with a person, I would hope you would be courteous enough to let them know rather than just not show up. Right? But we have an appointment with God. You ready? Every Sunday morning. Now, I know sometimes there's providentially things occur that we can't get here. You know, you get out there, the car won't start. You finally get the car, it won't start. And you pull out the driveway and the tire goes flat. You know, I understand. Sometimes you're sick and keep it at home. We don't need to bring it in here. I understand that. You know, you're blowing and sneezing and snotting all over everybody. You know, we don't need that. I understand. But a lot of times that's not the case. Well, I love God, do you? We have an appointment with him on Sunday. See, that's the Lord's day. Not our day, it's the Lord's day. And we have an appointment every Sunday. So, well, God knows why I didn't come. Yes, he knows. But many of us would probably not want to admit to God why we're not going to keep our appointment. Decide to go fishing instead. We decide to sleep in rather than meet with God's people. We decide to have brunch with the neighbors. Or with the relatives who came into town. I'm being mean. I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm trying to help us. He says, "Seek me with all your heart, and you'll find me." If we're not finding him like we should, maybe we're not seeking him with our whole heart. And how could I seek him with my whole heart if I'm not doing everything I can? I know some things are providentially hindered, and I know I talk too long, and sometimes some backs can't stand to sit that long. And stand up in the back, I'm okay with that. Walk around. Doesn't bother me a bit. However, sometimes we just don't bother. You want to have brunch with the neighbors? Do it on Saturday. You don't do brunch on Saturday. That's a Sunday thing. Well, do it on Saturday and start a new trend. Many people do not see Sunday as an appointment with God. We are to gather on the first day of the week. We're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, no matter some is. Well, are you saying that if I miss church once in a while, the Lord holds it against me? No, what I'm saying is, if you have an appointment with the rest of us to be in the Lord's house, and you decide you have better things to do, then you're not seeking the Lord with all your heart. That's all I'm saying. And you cannot expect to have the Lord as close to you in life as you could have if you miss your appointment. I know this is going to sound mean, and it has nothing to do with me. In fact, tell you the truth, I preach the Word of God. I may not be very good at it, but I preach the Word of God. But if you come to hear the Word of God, and you make it a diligent effort to come hear the Word of God, and I try to make it as nice as we can, God knows what you're doing. And he may even say, "Bless their hearts, they're going to go hear Sterling Walsh again. But they're going to seek me." That's what they're doing. They're seeking me. I'm going to bless that. See, I'm doing you a favor when I'm mean and not funny. No. But there are folks who decide on Sunday morning or Wednesday night if they're going to go to church to hear God's word or if they will do something else more pressing. Now, if you never know whether we're going to open God's word in church or not, I could almost understand that. But you know we're going to open God's word. Maybe some folks are willing to be distracted from attending church because they know we're going to open God's word. I've had people ask me almost indignantly if I will meet with them for an hour or two every week, week after week after week. Now, I have no problem doing it. Just hang tight with me. They're very inconsistent to church when the Bible is opened and the Spirit of God is moving. And we're teaching and preaching the precepts of God. Very inconsistent being there. However, they want to meet with God on their terms. Really, this is where this message kind of came from. See, I've got time on Thursday night between 7 and 8:30. So if God can show up on Thursday night between 7 and 8:30, I'm willing to listen. I'm kind of being facetious here, but you know what I'm saying? Now, he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set a whole day aside. And for a while, our nation had blue laws and all kinds of things. We didn't do anything on Sunday but go to church because, see, that's the Lord's day. And so we set that day aside to let the Lord do his work in our heart. But he said, it's not convenient. And so there's got to be another day we can do this. They want to come seeking what they think they need out of God, when they want to meet with God, and they want me to help them find it and get it there. Yet they have no time to get up for church. We have 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 church. Church is six o'clock on Sunday, Wednesday at 7, RU on Fridays. But those times are not convenient for them. Sunday's the only day for themselves. But see, that's not your day. It's the Lord's day. Besides, what better thing can you do for yourself than to go hear God's word and allow God to decide what you need to hear and when you need to hear it, even though you don't think you need to hear it? Are you following what I'm saying? That's the way God designed it. Now I will say this. I have no problem meeting with folks during the week. I really don't. I know, listen, there's folks who are trying to understand, well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to come, and I'm going to tell you what we just preached on Wednesday night. I can't tell you how many times that happens. We should not be asking God to schedule himself around us. Now, why am I saying that? Because this is a perfect example of not seeking him with our whole heart. We're going to seek him on our terms. We're asking God to schedule himself around us. We should have enough fear and respect of God that we schedule our lives around God. That's when God's going to show up, so that's when I want to be there. The Lord clearly instructs us to assemble together. The book of Acts indicates that the church met on the first day of the week. And you cannot assemble yourself together if you're not together in the assembly. And if you want and need extra instruction, like I said, I'd be more than happy to do that. But if you're not willing to surrender your time, your will to the Lord, you're not seeking him with your whole heart. So to be honest with you, whether we meet together, whether we not, it's not going to do a whole lot of good because it's probably going to waste our time because you've got to seek God with your whole heart and you're not seeking him at all. Folks are not seeking, for some reason, aren't seeking the mercy of God. They want God at their mercy. I've had folks ask me what I'm going to preach on so they can decide if they're going to make the effort to come to hear the Word of God, as if they know what they need better than God does. Now, I'm not God. God is. And if the topic doesn't sound interesting or applicable to them, they'll do something else. Well, listen, the church is meeting with the Lord. This is not a grocery store. We pull off what we want. I used to tell them what I was going to preach because I was excited about preaching, but I don't tell them anymore. unless I know for sure that somebody is going to be here anyway. But there's some folks, they want to find out before they put him on their schedule. If nothing else, we ought to come because God said we should. What if I was getting married, this is the day I was going to get married, and I overslept? Well, doesn't it happen to everybody? You would say, well, apparently that marriage is not real important to you. But I just overslept. I just slept a little longer than I should have. Well, did you set an alarm? Well, no. Well, why not? I don't know. I figured I'd wake up, and maybe not. But now, listen, if I was in this with all my heart, I think I'd set an alarm. Maybe I'd set two if I have a problem. Hang on. I missed church because I overslept. Well, how did you oversleep? Well, I slept longer than I expected. Well, didn't you set an alarm? We have an appointment with God. If you had an appointment with Donald Trump, I bet you set your alarm if there was any thought that or risk that you wouldn't wake up on your own. This is Donald Trump's boss. You know, you don't oversleep for work. Why? Well, work's important. I can't live without a paycheck. I don't get a paycheck if I don't go to work. I can't live and survive without a paycheck. The Lord says to the children of Israel, and he humbled thee and suffered thee the hunger, made life tough, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You know, when we seek everything but the Lord until things get really bad, and all of a sudden we seek the Lord and found out, we know in the back of our mind, he supersedes everything. When it really gets bad and the world fails you, who do we go to? And not the Ghostbusters. We go to the Lord. Well, maybe we should do that first. They lived by faith day after day, waiting for the manna to fall. They lived by faith in the faithfulness of God to provide for them every day. It could be that life is hard because you think bread on the table is more important than bread of life in your heart. Jesus came back and quoted it. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm almost done. One more illustration. We're going on vacation. We're leaving Monday. So we got to stay home from church on Sunday and pack. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, you want to find him, seek him with your whole heart. Now, if you really want, if you had an appointment with Donald Trump and you're leaving on Monday, but you had an appointment with him on Sunday, you know what you would do? Now, think about it. What would you do? You'd pack when? You pack on Saturday. Or just get everything laid out so you go in the suitcase and leave. We went on a trip this week. You know when we were going to leave on Sunday? You know when I packed? Saturday night, about 10 o'clock. But it's not too hard. I'm going to wear suits all day. There's one. There's two. There's three. And I take your shirts, you know, and that's the way you pack. Well, we're going to pack on all day Saturday. You got to pack all day Sunday? Pack on Saturday. Well, I just got a lot of things to do. I understand. Start early. I'm going to pick on the Reynolds back here. How long does it take you to get to church? 45 minutes? 45 minutes from Gardner's. 40, 45 minutes. You got two kids now, right? The oldest one's how old? Two. Get two kids, two and under, to church. To Sunday school. On time. A lot of times they're walking in when I'm walking. Doesn't always happen. Serving sometimes. In the nursery or other places or Sunday school. You were teaching Sunday school, weren't you? We can't get to church because we have little ones. You just start earlier. So that's mean. No, it's not mean. I'm telling you how to find the Lord. Seek Him with your whole heart and you'll find Him. Well, this is just too much bother. Then don't find Him. But then don't complain because He's not there with you. We seek God by seeking God, not other things. We're not seeking things. We're not seeking peace. We're seeking God. And if sin is separating us from God, we seek God by seeking purity from sin. Seeking the Lord with your whole heart means giving up anything that keeps us from Him. Anything. We walk where Jesus walks in the light, where the Word of God is shining on the narrow path of righteousness. We seek God with our whole heart. We must seek God above all other people, all other possessions, all other positions, and any other distraction that we may encounter along our way. We seek God above all our wants and even our needs, but He usually takes care of the needs. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Here's my question. Are you seeking God on your terms or His? Father, thank you for speaking to us here. It's tough, 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 tough. And we've all done things we shouldn't have done. We all failed. And we, Lord, I'm grateful that we confess our sins. You're faithful and just. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get to start every new day in your mercies. But Lord, on the other hand, we can just go through another day still not seeking you, still not finding the victory that we need, still not having that relationship that we want, simply because we're sort of kind of seeking you on our terms, but not with our whole heart on your terms. Speak to our hearts. Heads are back.